Welcome back to the deep dive. You ready to put on our legal thinking caps again?
Always. What have you got today?
Well, we're heading to the Supreme Court, but don't worry, no robes required.
Yep.
We're looking at Williamson v. Lee Optical.
From 1955, right.
That's the one. And it's a case about eyeglasses, but it gets at something much bigger.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, just from the name. So what's the big issue lurking behind these lenses?
It really boils down to, like, how much power states have to regulate businesses. Even when those regulations seem a little questionable, like maybe not the best idea.
That's what we're going to find out. And we've got a great source to help us do just that.
Right. We're going straight to the source.
Yeah.
The actual Supreme Court ruling. No hearsay here.
Love it. Primary sources are the best. So what exactly was going on in Oklahoma that ended up in front of the highest court in the land?
Okay, so picture this. Oklahoma passes a law, and this law says you need a new prescription from an eye doctor every time you need new glasses.
Every time, really?
Yep. Every single time. Even if you just want new frames, you know? Like, keep the old lenses, just get a snazzy new look.
Wait, so even if your prescription hasn't changed, you'd still need a whole new eye exam?
According to this law, yeah. Seems a bit much, right?
Definitely seems like overkill. I mean, come on, the opticians, the people who actually make and fit the glasses, they'd know if a new prescription was needed or not.
Exactly. And the opticians were, like, up in arms about this. They argued that they could totally measure and fit glasses without a new prescription in tons of cases. Said it was just an unnecessary burden on everyone.
Makes sense. So what was Oklahoma's reasoning to this law? Why make things so complicated?
Well, they leaned on this thing called the police power. It's this broad power that states have, you know, to make laws to protect their citizens.
Right, like health, safety, general welfare, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma was basically saying, hey, we're doing this for your own good, even if it seems a bit extra.
Protecting your precious eyeballs, I guess.
Something like that. And here's the thing. Courts usually don't like to second-guess legislatures when it comes to these economic regulations.
They figure, hey, that's the legislature's job,
yeah.
Right?
But here's where it gets really interesting. The Supreme Court actually says this law might be needless and wasteful. Justice Douglas even wrote, quote, the Oklahoma law may exact a needless, wasteful requirement in many cases.
Whoa, hold on. So they're saying it could be a bad law but still upheld it? How does that work?
Right. That's what I thought. So how on earth could they say it might be needless and wasteful but still constitutional?
Well, this is where we get into some legal technicalities. The court used this thing called the rational basis test. Basically, the government just needs to have some kind of conceivable reason for the law, even if it's not perfect.
So as long as they can come up with some sort of reason, it's all good.
Pretty much, yeah. It's kind of a low bar to clear, legally speaking.
Okay, I'm curious now. What reasons did they come up with? Like, what was their justification for this eyeglass law?
Well, one argument was that, sure, it might not happen often, but opticians could, you know, potentially mess up when fitting glasses.
And that could hurt people.
Right. They also emphasize that regular eye exams are important for detecting eye diseases, not just for getting the right prescription. And back then, in the 50s, maybe people weren't as aware of that.
So they were thinking, force everyone to see the eye doctor more often, just in case.
It's possible, yeah. And remember, they don't need to solve every problem with one law. They can just chip away at it, address what they see as the biggest issues.
Okay. But I gotta say, it still feels a little weird, right? Like allowing laws that are maybe not great just because the government could come up with some reason makes you wonder.
Definitely raises some questions about how far is too far, you know? Like, where's the line between a government doing its job and overstepping?
Exactly. And speaking of things that seem a little off, there's this other part of the law that just makes you go, huh.
Lay it on me.
So the law also banned opticians from advertising their services. But get this, sellers of ready-made glasses, like those reading glasses you can just grab at the drugstore, they were totally exempt, allowed to advertise all they want.
Now, that does seem a little unfair, doesn't it? Like, why single out the opticians like that?
Right. It feels like there's more to this story than meets the eye, pun intended. But before we dive too deep into that, maybe we should explain to our listeners what this Equal Protection Clause thing is all about.
Good point. Yeah, let's back up for a second.
So for those who might not know, the Equal Protection Clause is part of the 14th Amendment, and it basically means states can't discriminate against people.
Right. Everyone gets equal protection under the law. It's there to prevent unfair treatment and make sure everyone's on a level playing field.
Okay, so how does that tie into this whole Oklahoma optician situation?
Well, on its face, it does seem like the law is treating opticians differently from those selling ready-made glasses, right? Putting them at a disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure.
But here's the thing. The court gives legislatures some leeway in how they regulate different groups. As long as there's some plausible reason for the difference, they won't just step in and say, nope, not allowed.
So in this case, they were basically saying maybe ready-made glasses weren't seen as a big deal because people choose those themselves without any fancy optician fitting.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They weren't necessarily saying, hey, that's a great distinction, but more like, well, it's not our job to micromanage every single detail of every law.
It's amazing how a case about eyeglasses can open up so many legal rabbit holes.
Right. It really shows how complicated the relationship is between government power and individual rights.
So, listeners, that's just the tip of the iceberg for Williamson v. Lee Optical. We've seen how a law the Supreme Court itself called needless and wasteful can still be constitutional. And we've started to unpack some pretty hefty legal concepts.
Police power, rational basis test, equal protection clause. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have. But stick with us, because in part two, we're going even deeper into the court's reasoning and what this case means for us today. You won't want to miss it.
Welcome back. Now, last time we left off talking about how the Supreme Court, they upheld that Oklahoma law about prescriptions and eyeglasses.
Yeah, the one they themselves said could be needless and wasteful. It's pretty wild, right?
It is. And it might leave some folks wondering, why are courts so hesitant to like really question those economic regulations that legislatures come up with?
Right, like, shouldn't there be a little more oversight?
Yeah.
Especially when a law seems, well, kind of pointless.
Well, there's a lot of history behind that kind of judicial philosophy. Courts have historically, they've been pretty hesitant to step on the toes of economic legislation.
Interesting. So, like, is that a handoff approach?
Yeah, pretty much. They generally believe that it should be the lawmakers, the folks we actually vote for, who make those decisions, not, unelected judges.
Let the people decide, kind of
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. In fact, Justice Douglas actually addressed this directly in his opinion. He wrote, and I'm quoting here, "The day is gone when this court uses the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment to strike down state laws, regulatory of business and industrial conditions, because they may be unwise, improvident, or out of harmony with a particular school of thought."
Whoa, okay, that's a mouthful. But essentially, what he's saying is if you don't like the law, go vote for someone else. Don't expect the courts to fix it.
You got it. It's all about judicial restraint, especially with the economy. Of course, this doesn't mean they'll just rubber stamp anything, no matter how
But
crazy.
there's got to be some limit.
Exactly. But, generally speaking, they give those lawmakers a pretty wide berth.
I get that. But at the same time, shouldn't there be some kind of check on laws that are just straight up unnecessary? Or, like, even worse, potentially harmful?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. And that's where things get really tricky. Where do we draw that line? When does judicial restraint become, turning a blind eye to bad laws?
Tough question, right?
Yeah, super tough. It's something legal scholars are still debating today. In fact, that whole rational basis test has gotten some flack for being, well, maybe a bit too lenient.
Too much power to the government.
Some folks think so, yeah. Critics say it can lead to laws that are inefficient, a waste of time and money, or even worse, driven by special interests.
Like maybe benefiting certain groups over others, even if it's not the best for everyone.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, with this Oklahoma case, was it really about public health, or was there something else going on?
Like maybe protecting the profits of those who need prescriptions for their business model? Interesting.
It's a valid point, and it brings up a bigger issue. How often are laws influenced by powerful groups looking out for their own interests rather than the public good?
Makes you wonder how many laws are on the books that seem totally pointless now.
Right. Like, are we still following rules from who knows when that don't even make sense anymore?
That's kind of scary to think about. But, I guess what this whole Williamson v. Lee Optical case shows us is the legal system, it's not set in stone.
It's constantly changing, and a lot of that change comes from, us, the people.
So staying informed and engaged, it really matters.
Absolutely. It's our system after all. We have the power to change laws we don't like if we, if we use our voices and participate in the process.
Powerful stuff. This whole case, it's really about much more than just eyeglasses, isn't it?
Not at all. It's about the relationship between citizens and their government,
Yeah.
about power and how we balance that power.
Wow. We've really gone deep on this one.
We have, but we're not done yet. When we come back, we'll be exploring some specific arguments the court made and look at how this case is still shaping the legal landscape, even today. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. It's amazing how we started with a simple case about eyeglasses, and now we're talking about, like, the whole structure of government.
Right. It really shows you how connected everything is. Law, economics, social values, they're all intertwined.
Totally. And today's case has really highlighted that whole separation of powers thing. You know, how the legislature makes the laws, the executive branch enforces them, and then the judiciary comes in to, like, make sense of it all.
It's like a constant dance, right? Checks and balances, making sure no one branch gets too much power. And cases like this, they give us a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah. And it also makes you appreciate how complex legal reasoning can be. Like, the court's decision wasn't just a simple yes or no. They had to weigh all these different factors, consider precedents, you know, really wrestle with it.
For sure. It's not always black and white, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And reasonable people can disagree about, you know, the right answer. That's why we have all these legal scholars and debates and all that help us understand a different perspective.
That's how the law evolves, right? Through those discussions and different viewpoints.
Absolutely. It's an ongoing process, this quest for a more just an equitable system.
Speaking of evolving, that's one of the big takeaways from today. The law isn't static. It's constantly changing, influenced by, you know, society, technology, even who's sitting on the court.
Right. And cases like Williamson v. Lee Optical, even though it was decided ages ago, it still shapes legal arguments today. Those precedents, they're like the foundation for future decisions.
Building blocks of the legal system, each case adding another layer of complexity.
It's like a never-ending story, you know, always refining, always improving. And it's a good reminder that even those seemingly small issues, they can have huge implications down the line.
Before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier, that advertising ban on opticians, the one where sellers of ready-made glasses were totally exempt. That always struck me as, I don't know, a bit fishy.
Yeah, it definitely raises questions about fairness and how that equal protection clause is actually applied, right? Some might say it was arbitrary, giving opticians an unfair disadvantage.
Totally.
Yeah.
But then the court also seemed to be saying, look, lawmakers need some flexibility, right? They can't treat every single part of an industry exactly the same.
As long as there's, like, some logic behind it, some rational basis.
So they were giving Oklahoma the benefit of the doubt, even if it created a bit of an uneven playing field. But, I mean, how does that fit in with the whole idea of equal protection?
Well, that's where things get interesting. You got to remember, back in 55, the court was way more hands-off when it came to economic regulation. They weren't as focused on, you know, perfect equality in every situation, especially when it came to businesses.
So, like, some inequality was okay as long as they weren't specifically targeting a group based on, like, race or religion?
Something like that, yeah. But things have changed a lot since then. Today, courts are much more sensitive to those unequal treatment claims. Even in economics, they scrutinize laws that seem to unfairly burden certain groups. The bar is higher now.
So you're saying that if this case went to court today, the outcome might be different.
It's possible, yeah. The legal standards have shifted, the court's makeup has changed, so it's hard to say for sure. But it definitely wouldn't be a slam dunk for Oklahoma anymore. There'd be a much bigger debate about whether that advertising ban was really justified.
It's crazy how a single case can show us these, like, big shifts in legal thinking and how society views things.
Right. The law is constantly being reinterpreted, applied in new ways. It's not just stuck in the past.
Williamson v. Lee Optical, man, who knew a case about eyeglasses could be so thought-provoking.
It's a reminder that those seemingly everyday laws, they can have ripple effects we might not even imagine. And it raises some fundamental questions about the government's role, about power, about fairness, things we're still grappling with today.
Well, I think we've officially dissected every angle of this case. Any final thoughts before we wrap up our deep dive?
Just this. This case, it's a fantastic reminder that the law, it's not just a bunch of rules in a book. It's a living thing. It impacts us all. And it's on us as citizens to understand it, to question it, to fight for a system that works for everyone.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, folks, that's a wrap on our deep dive into Williamson v. Lee Optical. Hopefully you've learned a thing or two about the rational basis test, the balance between government power and individual rights, and how even a case about something as ordinary as eyeglasses can reveal so much about the complexities of our legal system.
It's been a pleasure exploring all this with you.
And to our listeners, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. We'll catch you next time.